You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
I'm Anthony Kastrovitz, and we are at the end of spring training camp, mercifully, and finally ready to head into opening day and the regular season ahead, and what should be a really captivating regular season in the American League Central in particular, given all the improvements made by the White Sox this winter and where the Royals finished last year in the World Series. And the Indians are a team that a lot of people are pegging as a sleeper kind of club that they could come away with this division. The Twins are much improved. And then you got the Tigers, still, in my opinion, probably the team to beat in the division with all that star talent. But they have some questions and concerns of their own. So I think these teams are all going to beat up on each other quite a bit this year. We're going to check in with all the beat writers from the AL Central and get their thoughts on the year ahead and play a little over-under game with them as well with some various guys on the roster. So thanks for tuning in. Here we go. And we're here at the end of spring training camp, finally ready to start the 2015 season. And it's a big one for a Tigers team with still a lot of star talent, also a team in transition, trying to break in some young guys at the big league level and just trying to stay afloat in the top of a really tough division. So let's bring in Jason Beck, as we do every week. And Beck, you know, some people are pointing the Tigers as, are they getting too old to contend, to hold up over the course of a full year? Other people, myself included, I would have to say I still think they're the favorite in this division. I still think they're pretty strong in the starting department, maybe not at the elite level they once were, but I think that middle of the order is such a separator for them. Where do you stand as far as the state of this club here as we're at the end of camp?
Well, you know, it's a team that's undergone a lot of change, you know, in certain areas. You know, I think the rotation not nearly the strength, the overwhelming strength that it once was, but I think it's still an effective rotation. I think the top of the rotation is still very, very good and can match up with, you know, really anybody else in the division if not outpitching. You know, notably if Verlander can get back to an effective form, if not dominant. Putting Cabrera and Victor Martinez there in the middle, you know, and getting some sort of repeat out of J.D. Martinez, I think is a separator for these guys.
Who's the guy you're most curious about on this roster, whether it be in the rotation, bullpen, or lineup? Who's the guy you're really curious to see which direction he goes this year?
I think two guys. I think offensively, Anthony Gosch is a guy who could be a real X factor for this team. You know, if he can, the more he gets on base, the more that speed becomes a factor. It was one thing when they had Roger Davis there in the order, and he got off to a strong start and really helped these guys through some tough times. But with Ghost, I think it's, you know, that speed has a chance to be even more of a factor. You're talking about a young guy on the upswing, a guy who stabilizes center field defensively and also has a chance to, if he can finally make that turn and become a major league hitter, has a chance to be a real weapon for these guys and kind of extend that speed factor that we started to see glimpses of, you know, last season with Roger Davis and Ian Kinsler. And then the other guy for me is Bruce Rondon. I think if Rondon returns to an effective form, I think it makes a huge difference for this bullpen. And I think it solves a lot of issues for them, even with, you know, some of the other guys who have been up and down, you know, over the course of the last year or so. Just being able, you know, he's their Kelvin Herrera. He's their guy who they can bring in strikeout situations and count on strikeouts and count on him being able to overpower a good number of major league hitters if the fastball is anywhere near what it was, even if it's not, you know, 102 or 103, even if it's at, you know, 98 or 99, it's a good fastball. And if he can mix it in, you know, with a slider and a changeup, you know, that's, he can have the impact that Joel Amaya did for these guys back in 06 and 07.
Yeah, he's very big for them. We know the bullpen struggles last year. We know how volatile bullpens are. The Tigers have a lot of the same pieces in that back end that they had last year, but Rondon is a guy who can take them to another level, perhaps. So, I'm most curious about Justin Verlander, just seeing as he refines his pitch selection and kind of changes course here as he reaches a new stage in his career with all the innings he's accrued and the struggles he's had the last couple of years. Curious to see if he can show some improvement this year. But Beck, we're going to play over under with all the beat writers on this week's AL Central podcast and have some fun here with you. Let's see. Miguel Cabrera has a 960 career OPS. We know he battled the ankle situation last year. He presumably recovered from that, ready to get back to his old swing. Do you think he will be over or under his 960 career OPS in 2015?
Man, that's a good number. I guess he's got a chance to be over it. I'm not thoroughly convinced of it because even if he's completely healthy, I wonder if that power is going to be quite the same.
Yeah.
And just given that he wasn't able to do a whole lot of off-season work with the lower body, he's going to have to get his legs back under him. He might be kind of more like last year where, that bat's there, but it's more doubles power than home runs. I'm not sure of it, but I just get that suspicion that that's possible just given the potential limitations there. So, but I'll still go over because I think if he can get the batting average up, I think that would make up for a lot. And the fact that he could still get pitched around a decent amount and get that on-base percentage to counter any drop in the slugging.
Yeah, for Miggy, the big question might be power. For Yoenis Cespedes, the question might be on-base percentage. If he can improve that, use the whole field as the Tigers want him to do. Cespedes has been in the big leagues 3 years now. The last two, he has not exceeded an 800 OPS. So I'm going to put you on the spot here, Beck. 800 OPS for Yoenis Cespedes, over or under?
I think over, but not for the reasons you would suspect. I think he's another guy where I don't know if the power is going to carry him over 800, but I think the potential for him to slash the gaps for doubles and triples could make a big difference in his game. He's been moving around awfully well, even despite some nagging injuries. And if he can stay healthy and kind of keep that speed factor in play, I think he's got a chance to, really get a boost on extra base hits other than home runs. And I think if he ever gets a shot to bat in front of Cabrera, I think he could really, ignite this offense. I think he could ignite his own offense that way. I don't think it's going to happen right away, but I think it's an option if they need a spark. If you put him in a situation like that where he's going to get strikes, and he's going to get hittable pitches if he waits it out. I think that can make a world of difference for him.
We mentioned Verlander a minute ago. Maybe this is setting the bar low. I don't know, but 4.00 ERA. I think if he was below that, Tigers would be pretty pleased. It would be a pretty substantial jump from last season. Do you think he is over or under 4.00?
Wow. What was he at last year? He's somewhere in the mid-fours, right?
Mid-fours, yeah.
Wow. I think he's got a chance to sneak under it. I don't know if he's going to get under it by a huge margin. Not expecting a return to the dominant guy, but I think he has a chance to, get a return to, the effective Justin Verlander, maybe more like the 2013 dude. Strikeout rate, probably won't be there unless he gets more deceptive with the secondary stuff. But I think he still has a chance to eat innings, get a decent share of quality starts. The question for him is, can he avoid those disastrous starts that really elevated that ERA last year? I think if they can get a lot of outings where it's like 6 or 7 innings, 3 runs allowed, I think they'd be pretty pleased. Maybe even going a little bit over 7. You know he's got a chance to get the innings because he's just a workhorse like that. You just got to do some damage control there. And I think you can do enough of that to sneak in under 4.
All right, Beck, and looking in the big picture, I'll be curious to see how many wins it takes to win this division this year. As improved as it is, and as much as these teams could beat up on each other, and that's kind of the general sense of the game, is if you get in the high 80s and wins, you're in a pretty good spot. But setting the bar at 88 wins for the Tigers, do you think they're over or under 88?
I think they're under 88. I think this division – top to bottom is too tough. I think people are underestimating the impact that the Twins can have on this race. And I think given the unbalanced schedule, it's going to be tough for a lot of teams. I don't think anybody in this division wins 90 games. I really don't.
You could be right. It's definitely much improved, and the Tigers have their work cut out for them as they try to win another division title in a very tough division. And Jason Beck is all over it as the 2015 season evolves. I want to thank him for joining us. Please check out his work at Tigers.com. We're right on the verge of opening day and kind of going to take a general look at the Royals as we head into the new year and as they look to defend that American League pennant. Jeffrey Flanagan, who's been with them all spring down in Surprise, Arizona, is going to take a look at him with us. Jeffrey, we know it's so hard to repeat in this game year to year. For the Royals to do so, and there's obviously been a decent amount of turnover on the roster from last year to this year. What, in your opinion, what's the biggest key, for them as they try to repeat here?
Well, I think, they're going to have to find a way to score more runs. We talked about that many times. And last year, their margin for error was so tiny. They won so many close games. And it was all based on, great starting pitching, a great bullpen, and great defense. And at least 2/3 of those, that equation should be back. I think their defense is going to be as good, if not better, with the addition of Rios. Their bullpen, everyone talks about, there's likely going to be a little bit of regression, but even if there is, it shouldn't kill them. I think there should be some concern about whether Eddie Volquez can replace James Shields and gobble up 200 innings or 220 innings and be effective in that role. But I think when the bottom line is, to make up for anything they might lack in the rotation, they're going to have to score more runs. And they're really counting on, Hosmer and Moustakas, who had breakthrough Octobers, to continue that and then get some quality additions from Kendrys Morales and Rios and beef up the offense. And, they don't have to score a ton of runs, but just score a little bit more than they did last year.
Yeah, I'm almost sensing less love for the Royals this spring than last spring. And obviously they're coming off great things in October. They kind of noticed that and embraced that. They really are still kind of that underdog role, I guess.
I think they kind of laughed at it more than anything. Yeah. I mean, there was some projections. Pecota, I think, had them at, 72 wins or something like that. And it's just, I guess, and we've talked about this before, I guess pitching, speed, and defense really don't show up in the metrics the way they should. At least pitching, speed and defense don't. And you just don't get a lot of love for that in those metrics. And if you look at this team on paper, maybe you do look at them as a 72 to 75 win team. But this one thing they can't measure is how a team's confidence level is. And this team is very confident. They believe that they belong in the playoffs from now on, from year after year. And they believe they're going to get back there. And there was some turnover. There's not a great amount of turnover. They still think that the ceilings are pretty high for guys like Hosmer and maybe even Moose. And if those guys continue to ascend upward, they should get better than they were last year. And you can also make a case that their bullpen might be better. It's certainly going to be deeper than it was last year, even without Brandon Finnegan. Getting back, getting Hoche Rabak at some point, as well, Brian Madsen at the big three, and then you've got some pretty good guys behind them. So they believe they're actually going to be better than last year, and of course the division is going to be tougher, so it's not going to be easy to repeat, but they believe they're going to get there.
Well, Jeff, I thought it'd be fun to take a look at a few individuals here and play the old over-under game. So let's see what you think now. Eric Hosmer, he's yet to hit the 20 home run mark. Does he go over or under 20 home runs in 2015?
I'll say he goes under, but his other stats will be better. I think it's just too hard of a ballpark to really. He's not that kind of hitter. He's not a really. He's more of a gap to gap hitter. I think his doubles ratio will go up. Maybe even his triples ratio will go up. I don't think he's going to, you know, suddenly explode for 25 homers, so I'm going to say under on that one.
Yeah, I would agree, especially, as you mentioned, in Kauffman Stadium, where it's so hard to go deep. Danny Duffy is a huge key to this rotation, shows up to spring in great shape and added a lot of muscle, and his big goal with that is to reach the 200-inning threshold. So over, under 200 innings for Danny Duffy.
Oh, boy. I'm going to go under on that one, too, but just barely. I think he's, you know, he went to 149 last year. I think he could probably go to 180, 190, and they'll be happy with that. You know, he still hasn't really proven that he can keep his pitch count down and pitch to contact and go deeper into games. But if he goes six or seven, I think they'll be pretty happy with that. And he's actually looked very, very good in the spring, very sharp. So, you know, it's a pretty much a thumbs up for Danny Duffy in 2015, but I don't think he quite gets to 200.
Well, that would still, I mean, the range you're talking about would still be a significant leap for him innings-wise, so I think
absolutely.
You're right. I think they would be content with that. Let's see, Addison Volquez. Last year, he goes to Pittsburgh, gets the Ray Searage treatment, and comes out with a 3.04 ERA, a huge improvement from the year before. So, let's just throw that figure out there. 3.04 ERA. He's in another pitcher's park. Does he go over or under that mark from last year?
I'd say it goes over, not dramatically over, but switching leagues, you know, it's tougher to pitch in the American League. I think it's going to be if he went 3.5 or 3.6 in his first year with the Royals, switching leagues to the American League, I'd be very, very happy with that. And especially if he can get to, you know, 190 or 200 innings, he'll be ecstatic doing cartwheels. So, I'd say over on that one, but not significantly.
All right, Wade Davis. Historic season out of the bullpen last year. Gave up 5 extra base hits all season. I'm going to let him double that. I'm going to say I'm throwing out 10 as the over-under mark for extra base hits allowed by Wade Davis in 2015. Does he go over or under 10?
It's got to be over. I mean, nobody can be that good. I mean, even if he does go to, say, 11, that's still going to be a phenomenal year, and I expect him to be phenomenal again. He's that good. I mean, a lot of people have him rated better than their closer, Greg Holland. So he's just he's been automatic. I think there's going to be some normal hiccups throughout the year for Wade. He can't possibly be as good as he was last year when there was a stretch, a three-month stretch, where he didn't even give up a run, which is just unheard of.
Yeah.
You know, even if he, you know, we've talked about that with Wade and Greg. I mean, even if he does slip up and has a 1.5 ERA, is that bad? You know, I mean, he's going to look like he regressed, you know, my God.
Right.
But that's still going to be phenomenal, and I don't think he's going to be as good as he was last year, but he's still going to be one of the best in baseball.
Yeah, he really gave himself an unrealistic bar, an unrealistic par, I guess you could say.
All three of them did.
One last
I mean, the combined ERA, I think, was 1.4 for the three of them. So, you know, if they go to 1.8, they'll have regressed, and so what? They'll take 1.8.
And as you mentioned, there's more help in that pen, so it won't be totally on those guys' shoulders, so that's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And last one, looking at the team overall, last year they won 89 games. So this is the big question. Are they better or worse than last year, or maybe just the same? 89 wins, over or under?
I'm going to go under 87 or 88, and I think that still might win the division because I think the division is going to be that much tougher. I think it's really going to be, you know, Cleveland, Detroit, and the Royals right in that 86 to 89 victory mark, and going to come down to the final week again, and we'll just see what happens. But basically, as good as they were last year overall, and so they should win about the same amount of games.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough division, and it could be a tough division to earn a wild card spot for that very reason. So,
yeah,
with the White Sox as improved as they are. So,
and the Twins have gotten better too. They've mentioned the Twins a lot. So.
Competitive for sure. We're ready to go then. 2015, it's a big year for the Royals, trying to get that that last win from last year, and Jeffrey Flanagan will be all over for Royals.com. Joined once again by Jordan Bastian here at the end of camp, and an Indians team that a lot of people are high on, frankly. Some people pegging them as a sleeper team, some of them pegging them as an outright favorite in the AL Central. A lot of that is just tied up in the young rotation and really a nice middle of the order as well. JB, 85 wins last year. You've been around them all through spring camp. I guess the one major hiccup in spring camp is the Gavin Floyd injury situation. But overall, in your estimation, is this team better than last year?
Yeah, I think so. And I know it's, you know, you're looking at a team that's virtually unchanged. But I think it was maybe a more impressive managerial job by Terry Francona to get to that 85 win total last season than it was in the prior year to get to 92 wins and win the wild card. Last season, you know, he had a lot of health issues. There were trades of major players and just a lot of factors in the second half that led to a pretty formidable youth movement within the lineup down the stretch. At the same time, you had the development and solidification of a rotation that emerged as one of the best groups in baseball, led by Corey Kluber and Carlos Carrasco. So you had the pitching working, and then you had Francona just squeezing every last ounce of anything he could get from that offense, you know, and they came just short of the playoffs. So I think they're heading into this season with Brandon Moss in the middle of the lineup, which adds a little more of a threat. You've got, hopefully, a healthy Jason Kipnis. You've got a rotation that is pretty much the same group that they had in the second half last year. And you have health on your side right out of the gate. So, you know, in a vacuum right now, you know, barring the unpredictable or unforeseen, you know, I think as we enter this season, this group has the potential to be better, potentially a lot better than they were last year.
Yeah, I think the Brantley, Santana, Moss, Gomes grouping there in the middle, you know, for all the talk of this team being left-handed leaning, you know, you got a balanced group there and some good power, and I like that group a lot. I think that's kind of underrated. Who's just looking at the roster as a whole, though, who's the guy, I guess, you're most curious about, the kind of year he's going to have and the impact he could have on this team?
Kipnis. I think, again, I kind of go back to Kipnis. You look at what he did in 2013 and the type of offensive force he was. I mean, he was kind of the engine to that offense in 2013. And then last year, obviously, he dealt with the oblique, and that lingered all year. We no longer saw the thump to the opposite field. So it's whether we're going to get the 2013 version, whether we're going to get something in between what he did over the last 2 years, I think he is kind of going to be a big indicator of where this offense is going to go. I think you can kind of, you know what to expect from Michael Brantley. He's so consistent. You know, Santana, you know, is going to get on base and hit for some power. But I think Kipnis, especially if they're going to put him in the two-hole, I think he's very, very critically important to what this lineup's going to do.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it runs right at the middle, too. Michael Bourne in center field is another big curiosity point for me. You know, can he get it done from the leadoff spot, basically? Can he get on base frequently to set those guys up? So, all right, JB, we're going to have a little fun now, play a little over-under game. Corey Kluber coming off of the Cy Young season. I'm going to set it at 2.50 ERA. Does Corey Kluber go over or under that mark?
I'll take over. I think it's going to be extremely hard for him to replicate what he did last year.
I would agree. Yeah, that's a tough act to follow, and I think he'll still have a solid season, but I definitely think he set the bar high for himself. And speaking of a guy who did that, Michael Brantley had a huge jump in OPS last year, tied into his slugging percentage jumping last year. His OPS went from 728 to 890. I'm going to set it at 850. 850 OPS for Michael Brantley, over or under for Dr. Smooth.
Well, man, that's a push. You know, I'll take under, but not by much. I think he has such a high contact rate that you'll still see some some doubles turn into home runs, but I think we may have seen the ceiling for his power.
Yeah, I think that's about right. I just love Michael Brantley's newfound aggressive approach. I'd like to see that in more guys. There's your pace of play right there. Just get guys swinging at more first pitches like Michael Brantley and making things happen.
There you go.
How about Trevor Bauer, who's a big X factor for the rotation, 4.0 ERA.
I'll go under. I think now that the mad scientist has had a whole season to study and analyze and use to his advantage and go into his labs all over the country and dissect his physics and all that stuff, and he's looked good this spring, not in terms of the back-to-back home runs and four triples and five at-bats, but in terms of pounding the strike zone and working on some specific things. I've been pretty impressed with his overall feel on the mound and in the clubhouse. He's kind of been great to cover this spring, and so I'll take the under there.
Another guy who had a nice spring camp is Brandon Moss, the new acquisition for the Philly Orioles, 25 home runs as he aims for that corner bar there in right field. What's your gut feeling on Brandon Moss, 25 home runs, over or under?
25 home runs. You know, I'll go optimist here. I'll say over just because he's been averaging 25 around that for the last few years in Oakland, which suppresses power. So I'll take the over.
Okay. And last one, JB, Terry Francona, when you lock him up in a press conference setting with a question, you see coming, you get an oh boy. How many oh boys for Terry Francona? 81. That would be an average of one every other game. How many oh boys in a press conference setting this season? Over, under 81.
You know, I'm going to take the over just because of the road factor, the road riders and broadcasters that come in there and don't know the way he likes questions asked. So I will take the over.
Okay, I think that's probably a safe bet. And hope for the number of coaches that he gets is zero. Number of people calling him coach. He doesn't like that at all. I want to thank Jordan Bastian for joining us. Should be a fun season for the Indians and for the AL Central in general. And opening day is right around the corner. Scott Merkin will be there with your Chicago White Sox as they try to build off of a huge winner. They're probably the winners of the winter in the AL Central. We'll see if they'll be the winners of the regular season as well. Merk, as we're at the end of camp here, how different was the spring camp in just terms of, for a club no longer in transition and just with that contending mindset?
Yeah, I think it's just a different feel because you know there's a chance. And I'm not, playing down. Because remember in 2013, they came to camp off a season where they were in first place for 117 days and won 85 games. So it didn't come until a little while into the season that people knew that wasn't going to happen in 13. 14 was, kind of that step back, take a step forward. And this year, a lot of excitement, a lot of good things, a lot of young guys stepped up. That's, I think, one of the key things of the camp was, some of the top young talent that stepped forward and, if not necessarily made the team out of this camp, is there for the future. So the Sox are good in the present, and they've really started to build a young core for the future, and that's Rick Hahn's goal. Rick Hahn is, trust me, if they win the World Series in 2015 and finish fourth the next 2 years, I don't think it's going to break their heart, but their goal is to be the team that contends every year and has a shot to win that World Series every year, not 1 year and then, fades off for 3 or 4. So they want to win now, they want to win in the present, and they've taken the right steps to get to that point, it seems like, so far.
Yeah. Well, I look at this roster and I think rotation depth is probably the biggest question mark, and we know Carlos Rodon is very well thought of and could be a major impact piece for them at some point this season. But just as far as how things line up on opening day, I would point to that as probably the biggest question mark. Is that biggest question mark to you, Merk, or do you see something else?
Well, are you talking depth in terms of the first five or talking depth behind the first five?
I'm talking about the first five. I'm talking about those basically those four or five spots once Chris Sale comes back.
Well, I'll say this. I think, they're 1-2-3 with Sale, Samardzija, and Quintana when healthy. Stacks up is strong as anyone else in the American League. I mean, there's probably some that are as strong, but not any that I can think of that are strong. I mean, Price, Verlander, and Sanchez, all healthy, are pretty darn good too, but I think the Sox could even that. I think the fourth and fifth starters, you're not always going to have, like what the Tigers had last year, 1-5 rotation of all-stars. I think Danks has a chance to kind of come back and be kind of a burly light, and that, they've worked on his arm angle, they've worked on his delivery a little bit, his leg kick, and I think, a couple years now fully removed from surgery that you may see a different pitcher this year. Not a different pitcher, maybe closer to the form John was before he had the arthroscopic shoulder surgery in August of 12. And, you know, Noesi they like, and Noesi's had a good camp. He's been kind of under the radar because there's been so much focus on Sale being hurt. And is it Samardzija or is it Quintana for opening day? But they liked what he did as a starter. Now, granted, there's a difference between starting probably when, you know, you're a team that doesn't have much of a chance for the playoffs versus a team that does have a chance for the playoffs. But, yeah. You know, Don Cooper has done some work with him. They like what they found in him as a starter. And I think the key thing to remember, as you just pointed out, is that Carlos Rodon is right there waiting in the wing. So, you know, if something falters, you have him to put in there. And then at the second step, you know, Rick Hahn, Kenny Williams, they're ready to make a move if they need help there. So I think, yeah, you're right. I mean, they don't have five all-stars per se there, but I think the back end rotation is going to be better than people think. But, I mean, it kind of maybe pales a little bit in comparison to the front three, but it'll hold up pretty well, I think.
And I like their lineup a lot. I'll take their first five or six spots in the lineup against, you know, almost any other AL team, really. I think they have some nice weapons there, some nice balance. Obviously, that man in the middle, Jose Abreu, great power. And that leads me to my next question, Mark, because we're going to play a little over-under game here with you.
Okay.
With a few of these guys.
Fun.
I'm going to start with Jose Abreu. 35 home runs. Does Abreu finish over or under that in 2015?
I am going to say over. Over slightly.
Okay. Better protection? Is that the main
I think he understands the major league game a little better. I think he's going to be able to pace himself a little bit better. You know, there's no question he got tired, and some people in the organization said he was just kind of beat up, you know, during those last couple months where his home run total dropped off. But, again, to point out the kind of player he is, you know, I think in two of those last 3 months of the season, he hit over 370, and the third one he hit like 300. So I just think just because of the player he is, but you're right. I mean, you know, even as strong you are as a player, if there's no one behind you, they're just going to pitch around you. So I think that the protection certainly does help with the Roche and Garcia behind him. But I think just the player that he is, he's going to be able to duplicate what he did last year and probably even be a little better.
And protection in front of him, too. He should have more
traffic
on the base pad in front of him. And that could reveal itself, too. So this next one, it basically comes down to how quickly you feel he'll get back on the mound in a regular season game. But Chris Sale, 200 innings pitched, over or under?
Wow. Assuming this is his only blip on the, you know, because he's had some, you know, some injury things that have cost him three or four weeks a couple times over his years as starters, I'm going to say over slightly. I think, you know, once he's healthy, he's seven innings almost every time out. There's rare – it's a rare time where you see him go under that. So assuming he misses one, maybe two starts, that's still 31, 32 starts. So I think over 200 innings for Chris.
All right. Jeff Samardzija has never logged double-digit wins. And we know the win stat is certainly not always a telltale sign for a pitcher's season. But does he get over or under 10 wins this season?
I will say over. I will say over because I think he's going to pitch for a team that has a better offense, you know, than he's played for certainly in the past. I think, you know, he knows the American League from his little bit of time in the Oakland organization. And, you know, this is a big year for him. It's his free agent year, and obviously the Sox would like to lock him down, but, you know, they'll have a chance even if he goes out there. But he wants to have a good season. He wants to have a good season because he knows the team can win, too. He's the ultimate competitor. So I'm going to say over, maybe in, like, the 15-16 range. But, you know, as Jose Quintana proves, wins are not always, you know, a great sign. But sometimes they do make a difference. You know, sometimes they do show what a pitcher's capable. So I would say over double digits for sure.
Yeah, I think that one's a layup. I think he goes over, and it's a guy who had almost historically bad luck as far as run support early last year with the Cubs, and don't think he'll have quite as much issue there this season with the White Sox. David Robertson, new addition in the ninth inning. Has not hit the 40-save threshold in his career yet, but does he go over or under 40 saves this season with the Sox?
Well, that's a good one. That's a good one. I think right around there. I'm going to say slightly under, maybe 38, 39, just because of the fact that I think, well, he's certainly the closer. There could be other guys who pick up a save or two if he's worked a lot. So I think right around 38, 39 would be for his saves, and still have an excellent year. But I just think slightly under for 40 saves.
Okay. The White Sox last year won 73 games. I think we can agree a 10-win improvement in Major League Baseball is a pretty substantial leap from one year to the next. They probably have their eyes on an even bigger leap. So I'm going to set it at 83. Do they go over or under 83 wins?
I'm going to say over. I'm probably not quite as convinced as what they think over, because I think we can both probably pretty closely agree, Anthony, that if they want to be a playoff team, they've got to go 17 over probably what they won last year. You know, I would think probably 88, 89 at the minimum is what they're going to need to be a playoff contender. 90 would pretty much do it. So I don't know if they're going to go 17 over, but I could see them being an 85, 86 win team this year for sure. And then with some luck, you know, or some even more inspired play than they hope for, go above 85, 86 there.
Well, I think 85, 86, that is just a guess. But I think that could be playoff range this year. We'll see.
I think so. I'm just saying, like, 88 to 90 is a pretty much a guarantee. But you're right, 85, 86 might do it for them.
Yeah, a lot of teams are shooting for mid-80s at this point. That's kind of the new norm. Teams used to shoot for the mid-90s, and now the low 90s, and now they're shooting for the mid-80s, really. Because they're so much beating up on each other going on, especially in the Central Division, which should be much improved, and the White Sox are a big part of that.
Four teams contending there for sure, with Cleveland, Detroit, Kansas City, and the White Sox.
Yeah. All right, last one, Merck. Eagles concerts for Scott Merkin, 2. Over, under?
I'm going to go under, and, with an asterisk, maybe someone will be able to – maybe I'll finally get to meet Joe Walsh or Glenn Frey, and they'll realize what a big supporter I've been for the years, and they'll get me to a show, but – If I'm purely paying, it's going to have to just be one. We got a limit. We got the budget. I got to, eat and, pay bills and that kind of thing. So we'll say one viewing of Take It Easy and Desperado this year, it looks like.
And plus, you might not have October free to go, follow them around the country.
True. So, that's a good point. That's a good point,
Mark. I want to thank Scott Merkin for joining us.
It's the last week of camp. Recording live from Hammond Stadium in Fort Myers, Florida, and opening day is just a few days away, and the Twins are hoping for a big turnaround this season. Four seasons of 90 losses, and not the direction they want to go. They've definitely made efforts to turn that around by reviving their pitching staff a little bit in free agency, and got some young kids coming in the mix, too. Should be a decent offensive team. It was last year, kind of on an underrated level. And Paul Molitor is here now, and we're here with Rhett Bollinger to talk about all that and the Molitor factor, and also the Torrey Hunter factor. Hunter brings it from the clubhouse. Molitor brings it in the dugout, a change of pace there. Do you sense, Rhett, just a different vibe with this team? Maybe more of a contending mindset. After the way the last few seasons have gone.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's more optimism than in recent years. I think that even talking to Terry Ryan, the GM, I think he's kind of already said he has no reason to believe why they can't contend. Well, I'm not sure if that's really true yet. I think that maybe this is kind of more of a bridge year where they can get better, maybe get close to 500 and then contend the next year. I do think they're doing the right things now, emphasizing things like base running and defense, those type of things that have kind of eluded them in the past. When the Twins were winning all those division titles, everyone knew them as the Piranhas, those teams that could play defense and steal bases and run the bases aggressively and kind of make the most of their talent, and that kind of went away the last couple of years. So I think that they can kind of get back to that, and obviously this is a young team, and to have Torrey Hunter to be a veteran kind of mentor to these guys. We saw early in camp guys like Aaron Hicks and Byron Buxton kind of clinging to Torrey anywhere he went for advice. And he's just a vocal leader they didn't really have in recent years. Obviously, guys like Michael Kadire and Justin Morneau are like that, but they've been gone now for a couple of years. And so, yeah, it's good to have that. And Molitor is a new manager, kind of a fresh face, I think a Hall of Famer. I think all the players respect him and are excited to have him at the helm. But at the same time, like I said, this team is still young, trending in the right way, but we'll kind of see how it kind of ends up at the end of the year because this division is tough. At this point on paper, they probably still might be probably the worst team, but a lot better, I think, in the previous years. We'll kind of see how it shakes up.
Yeah, they should make it a more competitive division night to night, and a lot of that for the Twins comes down to the pitching staff, obviously. And they add Irvin Santana. It's the second year they dipped into the free agent well in a significant way. But it's not just Santana this year. There's some young bodies starting to infiltrate things. We might see Alex Meyer on a more prolonged basis at some point this season. Obviously not in the opening day rotation, but Trevor May as well. So maybe things are trending in the right direction there as well. I know spring training results aren't anything to read into, but what's your gut feeling about this rotation? Is it better than last year, basically?
Well, it almost has to be better than last year. Last year, they finished last in the majors and earned a run, in ERA. So it's got to be better. Just, you got to figure with some of these options now. In the past, some of their guys beyond their fifth starter definitely were not very good options to have. Now that even it's race here and spring training, a lot of names in there, guys, Tommy Malone's had a lot of success. Palfrey in New York had some success before his, you know, elbow surgeries he's had. You know, and Meyer and May are both two big prospects, and even Jose Berrios is kind of in that mix. He's a guy that maybe could see time later in the season. So at least they're kind of trending in the right way that in that sense. They still don't really have that, you know, top rotation of all these guys out there, other than maybe Phil Hughes has definitely kind of evolved into an ace-like pitcher, but he's got to kind of back it up. That was kind of his one big year he's had for the first time in a while coming off of a bad year. So you got to figure that Nolasco's got to bounce back too. I mean, last year was such a bad year for him. Based on his track record, he's better than he pitched. The big key, I think, Kyle Gibson, just kind of getting better too. He was pretty good last year, kind of a 500 pitcher, ERA around, you know, in the fours. But I think that he could be a lot better moving forward. I think that he's kind of developing that slider a little better and even a changeup now, maybe get some more strikeouts because we know he can get those ground balls. But if he can improve and take a big step forward and Nolasco can get better, and we know we're probably going to get out of Santana and hopefully Hughes, and then that kind of that back spot, at least they have enough options to kind of see who that fifth starter would be that, yeah, you got to figure it's going to be better, but we just don't really know at this point how much better. But it would help a lot because last year they finished seventh in the majors in run scored, so if they can get that starting pitching going in the offense as well, then maybe they could surprise a little bit.
Yeah. Is there an X factor type of guy in this lineup and from a position player standpoint? I mean, we know, we hope Joe Mauer is healthier this season, and we kind of know what Torii Hunter is at this stage in his career, what he can contribute offensively and off the field. But is there a guy who can really, you know, change the fortunes of this team one way or another with his performance offensively?
Yeah, I mean, the obvious one, obviously, you said, is Mauer as a guy that bounced, you know, last year did not have a good year at all for, you know, by his standards. So for him to bounce back would be big because they still finished seventh in the majors and run scored with him not doing very well. But, you know, at the same time, I think a guy like Oswaldo Arcia is a guy who's kind of an X-factor, a guy that hit 20 home runs last year but is inconsistent and strikes out a lot. If he can kind of cut back on that would be a big thing for them. And Danny Santana is another X-factor, is a guy that had a great rookie year, but the key is for him to, you know, kind of back that up because a lot of that was kind of fueled by high batting average on balls in play, which probably might not be sustainable.
Yeah.
So if he can kind of improve in other ways, he still had a good line drive rate, he's still going to probably be hopefully a good hitter, but defensively at shortstop, it's going to be a key for him to see if he can stick there because obviously last year he played a lot of center field. It's going to be he's definitely probably one of the bigger X factors, I think, Danny Santana.
All right, let's play a little game with Rhett here, a little over-under action on these Minnesota Twins for 2015. Let's start with Mauer. A 300 batting average for Mr. Mauer. He's obviously done that the bulk of his career, but last year dropped down to 277. Obviously had struggles just staying on the field. Even after the transition to first base. What do you think for Mr. Mauer, 300 average, over or under?
It's a tough call. I mean, the biggest thing you'd like to say over, but at the same time, the strikeouts keep creeping up, you know, and if he's striking out a lot like that, it's tough for him to hit for high average. I guess I would say maybe I think he can do it, especially because his track record, and he's done so well in the past as a guy that's, what, a 320, 319 career hitter.
Yeah.
So I'll take the over, but I think he'll hit maybe just around 300.
Okay.
So I do think he'll bounce back, though, just based off his track record. And he's healthy now. Because the big thing last year was he was coming off the concussion, didn't have a normal offseason. And I think that now that he's healthy, I think we could see that again.
Maybe 3009.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and hey, it's a credit to where the game is right now from a pitching standpoint and bullpen standpoint and the cutter and the strike zone if even Joe Mauer is racking up the strikeouts in today's climate. But Brian Dozier just received a 4-year extension, hit 23 home runs last year. 18 of them last year were before the break. Do you think Brian Dozier will be over or under 20 home runs for 2015?
I think he has a chance to, but I'd maybe venture maybe toward lower just because I think he might hit for a higher average and maybe use a little bit more of the whole field and kind of get on base a little more. Obviously a good guy that walks a lot, but I think the stolen bases will definitely be over. I'd take an over on 30 stolen bases for him, but I think he might hit maybe 18 home runs or 19, and wouldn't shock me if he hit more than that, but maybe I'll go for the slight under, but I think he'll have a better overall year, though. I think maybe fewer home runs, but he'll be a better overall player.
Speaking of, will he have a better overall year, and this is I don't know if it's a clever way of asking it, but it's a way of asking it. Ricky Nolasco, how about a 4.75 ERA, which does not sound very good, and yet that would be considerable improvement over last year, so in a roundabout way, Rhett, I'm asking you, will Nolasco significantly improve over last year? 4.75 ERA.
I think I'll take the under on that. I think that Nolasco could do better than 4.75. I think based on his track record in Miami and even with the Dodgers there, I think that he's better than what he showed last year. He's dealing with an elbow injury. Do I think he's going to be the ace of the staff or anything? No, but I do think that he could probably give you a 4.5 ERA, hopefully even like a 4 ERA if the Twins, you know, if everything kind of breaks. So I'd probably venture to be lower, but obviously at this time it wouldn't shock me if he wasn't just because last year was such a disaster. and he's really got a lot to prove. But he came in better shape this year. Kind of seems like he's in better, you know, mentally too. Just kind of wants to bounce back from that. So I'd venture to say under that ERA.
And last one from a player standpoint, Byron Buxton, Twins' number one prospect. We know the center field situation is not totally concrete at the moment. We know Buxton could arrive in a September call-up, or maybe he'll arrive sooner. So I'm going to set it at 50 games played in the big leagues this year, Byron Buxton, over or under?
Another tough one. I think I'll probably still go under. I think that Buxton's probably more likely to be a September call-up than anything. Obviously, it wouldn't shock anybody if he tore up AA and got called up late in the season. We saw, you know, Kenny Vargas last year got called up from AA, and he's obviously not even in the same caliber at all of a prospect as Buxton. But Buxton's also a lot younger than Vargas and doesn't have as much experience. So I think they'll kind of see how Buxton does here early in the, you know, in the minor league season. Obviously coming off a lot of injuries last year, didn't play much last season. So I'd venture to say under, but it kind of depends on how that center field situation shakes out. And if they kind of need him up there, then I could see them calling him up a little earlier, especially if he's playing well. But I'll go with under 50 for right now.
All right, and Rhett, one last one. This is another roundabout way of asking about the Twins as a whole. What do you expect from them? I'm going to say over under 75 wins. That would be an improvement over last year, obviously. Still not, you know, still not a 500 range, still not a playoff range, but do you think they can exceed 75 wins this season?
I think they can, but not by very much. I think they're probably more like a 77 to possibly 500, you know, win team. But it's kind of depend on the division. I think that the division's kind of even in a sense that, you know, I think the Indians and Tigers and Royals and White Sox are all obviously very good teams. So I think that teams might kind of beat each other up a little bit. So while the Twins might be better than last year, they still could kind of end up with a win total kind of similar to last year. But if you look kind of at the advanced stats, like the Pythagorean win-loss record last year, they were supposed to win 77. They won 72.
Yeah.
So you figure if the offense can get a little bit of a, you know, can kind of at least even keep that same kind of thing, even if there's a top 10 offense and the rotation isn't the worst in all of baseball, that they got to get a little better in that sense. So I could see them winning 77 games. That's kind of my prediction, maybe. Okay. Maybe 81, kind of best case. And so kind of in that range. So I would venture to say over, but at the same time, with the way the division is, I can see them being a better team and still finishing with the same win totals last year. But for now, I'll take the over.
All right. There you have it from Rhett Bollinger. Good stuff for the 2015 preview. And, you know, a lot of young talent on this team that maybe gets overlooked a little bit. And that goes beyond the top prospects who could infiltrate things here in 2015. But as Rhett said, it all comes down to the pitching and how much it improves. And we'll see how that shakes out in Paul Molitor's first season. So I want to thank Rhett for joining us. And thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras.
American League Central Edition.